Morning, Ben. Good morning, Mr. President, replied the National Security Advisor. What's new in the world? It looks as though somebody might have tried to assassinate Sergei Golovko this morning. Goodley filled him in. Jeez, who'd they get instead? One Grigory Filipovich Avseyenko, age 52. I know that name. Where from? He's more widely known as Rasputin. He used to run the KGB Sparrow School. Ryan's eyes went a little wider. That cocksucker. Okay, what's the story on him? He got reduced in force back in 93 or so and evidently set himself up in the same business. Ryan nodded. The Sparrow School had been where the Soviets had trained attractive young women to be prostitutes in the service of their country. So, Avseyenko might have had business enemies angry enough to take him out, and Golovko might not have been the target at all? Correct, Mr. President. But we don't have any supporting data one way or the other. How do we get it? The legal attaché at the embassy is well connected with the Russian police. Okay, call Dan Murray at FBI and have his man nose around, Ryan said. He'd already considered calling Golovko directly. They'd known each other for more than 10 years, though one of their initial contacts had involved Golovko's pistol right in Jack's face on one of the runways of Moscow's Sheremetyevo Airport and decided against it. He couldn't show that much immediate interest. Same for Ed and MP at CIA. Right, Goodley made a note. Next. Goodley turned the page. Indonesia is doing some naval exercises. Ben went on with the morning briefing for 20 more minutes. So, the world's in good shape today, the president summarized. Except for the pothole in Moscow, it would seem so, sir. The National Security Advisor departed, and Ryan looked at his schedule for the day. As usual, he had very little free time. What the hell, he wondered, not for the first time, was he doing here? The election process had been hell, despite the fact that he'd had what Arnold Van Damme, his chief of staff, called a cakewalk. There had been an upside to it. Ryan had bathed in a sea of love. The love hadn't quite been universal, of course. There were those who'd protested his drastic actions to stop the terrorist-caused Ebola plague that had threatened the nation. During all of this, Arnie had been a godsend, pre-selecting a response to every single objection. Ryan was wealthy, some said. My father was a police officer, had been the answer. I've earned every penny I have. Morning, Jack, the vice president said, opening the door unannounced. Hey, Robbie. He still looked a little awkward in suits, Jack saw. Some people were born to wear uniforms, and Robert Jefferson Jackson was one of them, though the lapel of every suit jacket he owned sported a miniature of his navy wings of gold. There's some trouble in Moscow, Ryan said, explaining on for a few seconds. What's your day look like? I have to fly down to Mississippi for a speech at Ole Miss. You taking the wheel? Hey, Jack, the one good thing about this damn job is that I get to fly again. Jackson had insisted on getting raided on the VC-20B that he most often flew around the country under the codename Air Force 2. It's the only way I could get you a pay raise, Robbie, and nice quarters, too. You left out the flight pay, responded Vice Admiral R.J. Jackson, USN retired. You mean it wasn't the nice house and the drivers? The vice president shook his head. And it wasn't to be a first black, either. I couldn't say no when my president asks, even if it's a turkey like you. Later, man. You think so? Mike Riley asked.
Mikhail Ivanich, like you, I am not trained to believe in coincidences, replied Lieutenant Oleg Provalov of the Moscow militia.
They were in a bar which catered to foreigners. Riley was an organized crime expert who'd spent 15 busy years attacking the five families of the New York Mafia. Yet you think Rasputin was the target and not Sergei Golovko?
Golovko? To attack him would be madness. The chief of such an important state organ, I don't think any of our criminals have the balls for that.
Maybe, Riley thought, but you don't start off a major investigation by making assumptions of any kind, Oleg Grigorievich. Unfortunately, he couldn't say that. They were friends, but Provalov was thin-skinned, knowing that his police department did not measure up well against the American FBI. Well, Oleg Grigorievich, if you need any help, I will do my best to provide it for you.
Thank you, Misha.
It is already underway, Zhang told his prime minister.
I trust this one will go more smoothly than its two predecessors, the Prime Minister, Su Kunpiao, replied. The risks attached to this operation were incomparably greater. Both previous times, with Japan's attempt to alter the Pacific Rim equation and Iran's effort to create a new nation from the ashes of the Soviet Union, the People's Republic had not done anything, just encouraged behind the scenes. This venture, though, was different. We have been unlucky. Perhaps so. A casual nod as he switched papers on his desk. We have exposed nothing, and we have lost nothing. The head didn't come up, except that there is now an American ambassador in Taipei. And the economy on Taiwan had exploded after the renewal of full U.S. diplomatic recognition, with an influx of massive new capital investments. Money would and should have come to the PRC, except for the change in America's outlook. But the American President Ryan had taken his action contrary to political and diplomatic advice in Washington. We have lost face, Zhang. Face is not blood, Prime Minister. What had gone wrong? He asked himself again. Why had that Ryan fellow re-established relations with the Republic of China? Had he guessed anything about the Japan and Iran initiatives? The incident with the airliner had certainly looked like the accident it was supposed to simulate. Had this President Ryan guessed the PRC's intentions to begin the dismemberment of the former Soviet? It was possible he was a former intelligence officer, after all. It was always a serious mistake to underrate an adversary, as the Japanese and the Iranians had learned to their considerable sorrow.